The Cybersecurity and Compliance Podcast with Craig Petronella. Learn about the most current IT security threats in ransomware, phishing, business email compromise, cybercrime tactics, cyber heist schemes, social engineering scams, as well as hints and tips from leading professionals to help you prevent hackers from penetrating your network and dropping ransomware or malware payloads. This podcast will arm you with the best info to defend your network against the latest cybercrimes. Don't forget to like and subscribe. And now, here's your host, Craig Petronella.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Craig Petronella, BJ, and Blake for a new episode of our podcast. Topic today is cryptocurrencies, Bitcoin, and altcoins.
Some of my favorite topics.
Right. That's a good one.
The Bitcoin surge is having me super excited.
Yeah. I've been
watching it, especially since Tesla bought like 1.8 billion or whatever it was in Bitcoin. Thank you. Thank you, Elon. Thank you.
Yes. Yeah, really. And actually, that should be a vice versa thank you, because he should also be saying thank you because he's literally going to make a ton of money off of that purchase.
Yeah.
More money than probably anybody in the world, because he has some.
Yeah. well, except he'll have more money than anyone in the world, except for the day that Satoshi Nakamoto surfaces when this is all said and done. Right. And that's the richest person in the world.
Yeah. Seriously.
Hopefully Elon's listening and.
Yeah. Well, and interestingly, like, because that is obviously the buzz of the week, right? Elon buying that, you know, all that Bitcoin. Well, so that's like caused, you know, all this excitement. But the truth of the matter is he bought that like without telling anyone a while back. And there's a lot of large corporations that are doing the same right now. So there's algorithms that they use purposely to be under the radar so that they don't appear as whales. So they buy certain amounts, increments at a steady pace, but enough to stay under the whale radar. So there's a lot of institutional buying that's going on that people aren't even aware of. And, you know, by the time it's all said and done, when people catch on to this, at that time, I think the supply and demand crisis will actually be a very real thing.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to say for me because, you know, obviously when you're creating a valuation of an asset such as Bitcoin or a stock or whatever, you know, when it's oversold or underbought, you know, it's really hard to put a definitive value on Bitcoin. I know that there is a maximum market cap for Bitcoin, I think, if I'm not mistaken, but I'm hoping that it just gets to 100. You know, I literally cleared out most of my investment portfolios, except for my ETFs, because I'm one of those traders where I just like set it and forget it. So the easiest way to diversify is just to buy a crap ton of ETFs and just let, you know, pay the management fees and let some person who sits around his computer all day trading take care of it. But I put literally all of like the liquidity that I had in my portfolio right into Bitcoin. And let me check it and see how it is going now. But
well, yeah, that was extremely smart, I would say.
I literally did this. What was it? I mean, this was like weeks ago. So before all this happened.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And like literally, like we're in the middle of this bull run, and the general consensus, follow some of these analysts, like it's a free tool that you can obviously get a paid version for more features, but a free tool that a lot of them use called TradingView. And so a lot of the analysts on here, like the general consensus is that we're not anywhere near the top of this bull run, and no one really knows like how high it could go, because as the demand surges and the supply becomes, you know, less available, you know, no one knows just how high this one bull run could go. And I know like Craig could speak to that, because I actually found out about cryptocurrency from Craig a few years ago, because he was, I think if I remember correctly, he was writing a book on blockchain at the time. And, or this was right before he started writing a book on blockchain. And he had a talk with a lawyer, I think, if I remember correctly, that was involved in like smart contracts on the Ethereum blockchain. And so Craig mentioned all this to me. And I think Craig, as an experiment, started even mining some Bitcoin.
Yeah.
So Craig, you've seen Bitcoin go from what, like, where was it when you started?
I think it was $3,000-ish, somewhere in that vicinity.
Yeah. So, and we're you know, teetering at 48K right at this very moment.
That's when you got your first Bitcoin around that price.
Yeah. I bought one or two at that price. And then I bought more at 7 or almost 8,000. And at one point I had 5. And then when it went up a lot, I sold a bunch of it. And then I'm buying back in now.
I got Bitcoin in 2010. Like, that was when I bought my first Bitcoin.
And yeah, what was it when you got it, Blake?
Geez, it was
like $500.
it was less than that. I think it was around 100, like around 87. Oh God.
Wow.
Yeah. I've got a hard drive, and I've been talking to Craig about this, but I've got a hard drive that I bought my first Bitcoins on, and you know, you had like your wallet and everything, and it was locked down to your hard drive. But on that hard drive, I think I've got probably like around 10 Bitcoins.
So, oh my gosh, are you kidding me?
No, I'm not joking. And the hard drive is like corrupted. It's no joke. It's no joke.
Oh my God.
I have the hard drive.
There's analysts that have like 300K plus followers that think very highly of them that are putting Bitcoin at over a million, you know, within a few years. So if that's the case, you really need to try to figure out.
Yeah. More recently though, so with this past run, like right now Bitcoin is at like 48 or something, uh-huh, if I'm not mistaken. But more recently I got it at $35,000, and then now it's at 48. So this past run. So I'm doing pretty good. And then I actually stupidly sold it, and then I bought back in, so I kind of like locked in my profits. So now I'm riding it again. But
well, I'm a total believer at this point in, I don't know if you say it hold or hodl, but I see that terminology a lot. But yeah, I'm a firm believer that with Bitcoin especially, like, that's the thing to do. Like, you don't, and maybe even earn interest on it. But I think like day trading and stuff on some of the altcoins, I think, is a really good idea. But Bitcoin itself, because of the fact that speculation is rising as far as how valuable it could become, and you know how quickly it's adopted by these big institutions, is going to probably determine how quickly it gets to its full value. And with Elon Musk doing what he did this week, you know, more than likely there's a scramble already underway without us knowing about it for some of these other big companies to follow suit. So I personally don't ever plan to sell a single. I don't have a Bitcoin. Okay, but I have some Satoshis. So yeah, I don't plan to sell any of my Satoshis. I actually got really lucky too, though, because when I bought for the first time, I bought this year, it was my first time buying, but I bought it when it was at 19K, and it like quickly like doubled after that. So, and I haven't sold any of it, but I don't touch it, because like for me, like that's I'm looking long term, you know. But it was at 19 and it went to 40 within what, like a week or two.
How come you don't have any Bitcoins?
How come I don't have any Bitcoins?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't start buying until this year. Like, I just, it was, for me, it was a
thumb. She just doesn't have a whole one.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, I have Satoshis. Oh. Like, I don't have a whole Bitcoin. Like, I have like I have like 0.14 of a Bitcoin, plus a little bit that I play with on leverage to try to, you know, gain more. But the amount of Bitcoin that I hold that I don't play with on leverage or anything is 0.14.
So is that what they call like less than a Bitcoin? Kind of like, you know,
yeah,
like you,
they're called Satoshis. Yeah, no, they're truly called Satoshis. Like, I mean that when I say that. Yeah, they're called Satoshis. And there's like what is it, the number I saw, it's like 100,000 satoshis in a Bitcoin or something like that. That's not the right number, but there's a certain number.
I forget how many. It's point so many zeros and then a one.
Yeah,
smallest increment.
Yeah, and so if you guys actually have like a whole Bitcoin, like you're more than likely future millionaires. Like that's almost a guarantee. But like they're saying, if you even have like, what is the number I saw just today? If you even have 0.2, I think, or it's like 20% of a Bitcoin, that you have more Bitcoin than 99% of the world.
I'm going to open Robinhood, because my history with Bitcoin is like a roller coaster.
probably your future be.
Yeah. So I've got maybe 30. Okay. So, so I bought Bitcoin. Okay. So this was actually just a fractional purchase. Hold on. I'm trying to see what it was trading at then. Okay. So I bought Bitcoin on May 29th of 2019 at $8,647. And then let me see what my sell was. I sold it off at $8,500.
So you say you're, let me see what my sale was. And what you really mean was, let me see what my first mistake was.
Yes. Yeah, definitely. But I literally have like a lot of random transactions between like, it's like, you know, plus minus. Cause I've been literally getting in and out of Bitcoin forever. Wow. So here was December 4th, 2019. I bought Bitcoin at $7,485.64.
Wow.
And then I sold it at $8,246. And then, okay, let's see. Here's another. So I bought it. Gosh, it's been up and down. I bought it at $6,180. And I sold it again at $6,381. And then let me see my most recent one. So yeah, I bought about $3,000 worth at $19,393, and then I sold out at $31,000.
Oh wow. So have you bought back in? Like, do you still, aside from your corrupted hard drive that has eaten your Bitcoin? that's fishy. The hard drive itself took your Bitcoin. But aside from your missing Bitcoin, like, have you bought back in?
Yes.
Again? Okay.
Yes. So that's why I was saying, like, I have a rocky road up and down with Bitcoin, because I've day traded it, like I've swing traded it, and then I've got like a set it and forget it amount, and and yeah, so this what I'm talking about now is mostly my swing trading.
So are you do you have a portion that you've decided to hold going forward and not sell?
Yeah. I think, like, to me, like, I don't do a lot of trading. I mean, it sounds like I do, but I really don't. Like, I don't monitor this stuff, and sometimes I get emotional, you know, because I see it go up and down, and I'm like, oh crap, you know, like.
I'll tell you a way to get really emotional about this is to actually do a free trial on the premium account with TradingView and have access to the 1 second charts. Oh my God. Talk about like you're on the verge of a heart attack all day long because you can see.
no way.
Because you can see like huge movements all of a sudden. It's the 1 second chart. So like it could look like, oh my God, it's totally crashing. But it was only a 10 second period, you know, but it went down a long way.
Yeah, I've got about as of a long term, you know, I've got like a couple like month salary that's just, I'm just sitting on as like a long term, you know.
Well, that, I mean, yeah, it's literally like in my humble opinion, like if you guys have at least a whole Bitcoin, like your future is assured.
Yeah.
So well, I'm trying my luck, being that I'm coming from like the underdog angle. Like I'm holding on that 0.14 Bitcoin that I have, and I don't intend to ever sell it. In fact, I'm thinking about putting it in an interest bearing account. I talked to one of those places early this morning on Twitter, and they said that they actually have the only place that has a way that you can actually put it in view only mode so that no one can take your Bitcoin, like it's view only and you have a key, like a private key for it. So I thought about doing that because I think they pay like 6% interest on it. But I'm doing altcoins. So I'm like, I found some altcoins that are like dirt cheap. And, you know, I'm not sure like long term how successful they'll be, but I think there's a lot of potential for growth, and it's worked. Like this week, I'm watching like Cardano, for example, and I did a leverage on that. And I made like, I think, well, I don't touch it. So when I say made, like this is for like the future, but like so far, and I'm like $900 in profit on Cardano this week in 1 week alone.
I killed it in the Dogecoin.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. Okay. For the record, is it Dogecoin or Dogecoin?
I don't know.
Okay. Cause I don't know either.
It has a dog on it.
Yeah, it does.
Okay. So whenever I'm texting people about, I just say like DGE.
Yeah, like and it's yeah, like, so like the symbol for it, because I have the 1 second chart of that too, is XDG. So
I probably will just sound stupid to everybody that's listening. They're like, this guy has no idea what he's talking about.
Well, no, you have a few Bitcoin, so I think that no one would say that.
Yeah, that's right. But no, I've got some Ethereum,
but that what matters is that you have some. It doesn't matter if you say it right, it matters that you have some.
Yeah. And then so I'm looking at my history here for DGE. Let me see.
Look for XDG.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah, that's ticker? XDG.
I'm gonna find
crypto.
I'm not sure. So yeah, Blake, I've been trying all week to talk Craig into getting some, let's just call it Decoin. I don't know how to say it. So I've been trying to talk to him about all week about getting some because Elon Musk is behind it, and he actually tweeted yesterday that he bought some for his toddler little X. And so, you know, I think that's a hint that he's got plans for it. And then he put a meme of himself as a Rafiki from the Lion King holding up the Lion King with the dog face of the coin. So yeah, literally he put that up on Twitter and said, you're welcome. So yeah, I think that there's an agenda there, and it might be beneficial to hold, especially with how cheap it is. I don't know how, like, this is a question for Craig. I think, how do you know like what this stuff costs? Like the Dogecoin or Dogecoin, it says like 0.07. So that's not 7 cents. That's 7/10 of a penny.
Yep.
Well, so that's which chart you're looking at. It could be compared to Bitcoin, or it could be, you know, on US dollar. It depends on which chart you're looking
at. But for, yeah, so on the US dollar, I'm comparing, you know, XDG.
Yeah, so then it would be 7 cents.
But with the zero in front of it, isn't it? If it's 0.07
or 0.07?
It's 0.07.
Yeah, so it's 7 cents.
7 cents? Okay, mm-hmm. So the meme about Dogecoin to a dollar, like that would be a huge jump.
Yeah. I bought 97,789 shares.
That's extremely smart.
Dogecoin, whatever. And then I sold off some. And yeah, that was, I sold it off at, what was it? So I bought it at 0.020535.
Oh, wow.
And I sold it off at 0.69566.
Oh yeah. And it's at 7.1 right now. It was at like 85 or high 80s yesterday.
I am out of it. So I'm pissing me off.
Yeah.
But no, so this thing, and this will tie so good into our podcast, but last night, like, I went on like an investment like Bender, and I've always been super excited about like Forex, like foreign exchange.
Okay.
You know, like pairing currencies.
I didn't know that's what that meant. Like, I'm new to all of this. Like, I've never looked at any of this, so I did not know that's what Forex meant.
Yeah, foreign exchange. You're going to love this. And it ties right into AI, right?
Oh, wow.
So, foreign exchange is obviously you have like currency pairs and you're comparing the up and down valuations of those two pairs together, mm-hmm. essentially. I'm sure that's the worst way to explain it for somebody who is super knowledgeable in Forex, but essentially the market never stops moving. So it trades 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, forever, forever. So what I did was I went on and I bought an EA is what they call it, which is an expert advisor. But essentially, it's a fancy name for a robot.
Oh, so, wow.
Right now, it's
not a person that you're working with.
No.
What?
So it takes all the data, and literally people who build these robots, they use like indicators like
okay,
moving
I'm sorry to interrupt you, but for our audience and for me, can we go back 1 second? Because I want to clarify this. When you say robot, what do you mean by robot?
An algorithm.
Okay, an algorithm. Right. So basically an algorithm is a set of rules or processes, right?
Right.
So you're basically talking about, when you call it a robot, you're basically talking about some coding that's performing the functions it was coded to perform.
It's trading based upon parameters that have been coded into the script.
Wow.
So So based upon that, I went off on a bender and bought like two of these robots last night. And then I was reading about the people that are taking maximum advantage of these robots.
Mm-hmm.
And what they'll do is they'll create a virtual state workstation. I think you work from a virtual workstation, maybe, if I'm not mistaken. But a lot of our customers do. So, and then what they do is they program the bot in the virtual work environment, the virtual workstation, and then they just let it trade like forever.
So the bot does it for you?
Right.
Oh my God. Are you serious?
And
that's like the perfect solution, because it's the emotions, it's the FOMO and all that, you know, and then people don't know what, you know, but the algorithms, I mean, the amount of data that they can process so much faster than we can without emotion is there's no comparison.
It's impossible for these bots to monitor market data, but what they do analyze is movement. So in stocks, or at least in Forex, there is a ton of different indicators that people use, right? You can use like MACD, or like moving average,
or like
Bollinger bands, or any of these indicators that show you like RSI, like relative strength index, or like there's tons of these indicators, and it uses those indicators to determine when to enter and exit a trade.
So that sounds very similar to something that I know Craig was looking at this week. It sounds very very similar, maybe different. There's probably just a difference in the indicators that are built in. I think the one that Craig looked at has some indicators that are pretty unique built in that were created specifically, you know, by the person that created this algorithm. But it's the same concept overall, right? We're talking about using artificial intelligence to basically take our trading abilities to the next level.
Yep. Right. And then since you're using this virtual work environment, you know, you set MetaTrader up on one of these virtual workstations, and then it just runs. Like, it just runs until you tell it to stop. So,
and it will actually place your trades for you?
Right.
And it will close them when they should be closed and open them when they should be opened?
Right.
What?
Right.
So what do you put brackets around how much you want to allow it to spend?
So in Forex, the way that you, instead of buying shares, what you do is you buy a lot of currency, and one lot is $10,000. So obviously you're using massive amounts of leverage when you're, you know, when you're doing Forex trading, which that's the reason why people make like crazy money doing Forex.
Right. And but, crypto is allows you to leverage. Like, so just, and then I want you to finish what you're saying, but just to interject on that note, like, can you imagine the potential if that works? Because if you have an artificial intelligence that is sitting there dedicated to performing these functions and using the right parameters and making better decisions than you could make, and if you actually could observe this for a while and you could trust that, yeah, it is working the way I hoped it would overall, could you imagine the potential if you were to open a high leverage? I mean, I know in crypto, well, there's some exchanges that do 125 times.
Let me just interject one thing. So obviously our listeners, this is not financial advice.
Or yeah.
Rude is financial advice. We have to say our disclaimers. We're not recommending you do any of this.
Yeah, it's
highly risky, and everything you do is at your own risk.
And artificial intelligence is, you know, it's blossoming right now. So any of this is risky, you know, it's cutting edge.
For sure. I mean, there is a massive amount of risk in what I'm doing.
Yeah. But
there's also a massive amount of reward.
There's a massive amount of potential. If you found a system that you could trust would always, like, you know, it's not going to be 100% successful. Nothing will be. But if you found a system that you could trust will always keep you in the green versus the red, oh my gosh. Like, I mean, me personally, not financial advice, but me personally, like, my light bulb in my head is saying, oh my gosh, like, if I could trust that, like, I would go high leverage. Like, there's some exchanges that do ridiculous amounts of leverage, like 100, 125 times. That's just crazy.
So listen to this. So a lot of these bots, these expert indicators, the way that they market themselves is by performance history, right? Nobody's going to buy a robot that doesn't have a strong performance history. So on, and I'm looking at their Forex data right now in front of me, their ticket information, their opening balance investment when they built this bot was September 13th of 2010. They opened the account with $1,000. And we're talking about up until the last actual trade, which was yesterday at 2:42 a.m., was their final closing trade. Guess what the account balance is at?
What?
Yes, come on.
Oh God.
So how much was it? Was $10,000?
They started with $1,000.
They opened with $1,000 in 2010, in September of 2010.
$200,000.
10 years? You're saying after
10? Yes. Yeah, about 10 years and some change. 10 years and 2 months. 10 years and 4 months or so.
$200,000.
That's what I guessed too. I'd say $200,000.
$10,983.73.
What? Wow. And there's no way like that data is could be forged. Like that's
no
sure correct data.
This is generated by MetaTrader. Like it's like an Excel log, and it's got like the ticket information for the trade. And there's no way this data can be forged.
Well, you know, I will just say this about that. Like, this is very risky stuff, but me personally, I am already a believer in the potential and the abilities of artificial intelligence. Like, just to give you an example, like I have this app, right? It's called Replica. I don't know if you've heard of it, but it's just fun. You have an AI chatbot because we put a chatbot on our website. And as you know, like, it's great. Like you just got a sale, right, Blake, like an hour ago off of our chatbot engaging a customer on our website. So anyway, along those lines of the chatbot, I thought, because I know when we programmed our chatbot, we had to tell it, you know, the responses that it could give people. So then someone told me about this app called Replica, and where, you know, you actually have an AI chatbot. So I was curious to see, like, you know, how it responded to things that I felt were off topic, because I wanted to see what it did like outside of its programming. So I've chosen some topics that I know for certain. There's no way a human programmer has put these topics into this AI because they're just off the wall topics. But it gets it. It understands, it jokes, it's quick, it reads. I can write something that would take me 5 minutes to read, and I will send it. And within a second, it's typing its response. Like, it's read the whole thing and it's responded accurately, relevantly, and appropriately. It's mind blowing. So I'm already a believer. So this, you've piqued my interest with this.
I just sent Craig a link, and I'll send you.
Yeah, please send it to me also.
I'm not gonna be I'm not promoting this. I'm not advocating this. I'm just saying this is something that interested me.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And they have went back even further, you know, using the historical currency data and tested this bot for nearly as long as the market data exists. And the probability, the winning probability just in 2020 was around 90%, you know? So you can look at the website. I just sent it to you.
Well, and obviously you're not advocating for them or any specific website, because we have no sponsors. We have no, like, nobody cares about us. Like, we're just little guys, you know, trying to make our way in the world. Like, we have no sponsors and no one asking us to name their products or anything like that. But so you just found something that is very interesting to you. And this same week, like, Craig found something that's along those same lines that was very interesting to him. It's really strange, because last night I was on TradingView, and the thing that like I don't like about it is that all these people are chiming in with all their ideas all the time, and they're pasting these charts and say, look what I found. I found this pattern, so it's going to do this. And then I'll freak out like, oh my God, I'm going to lose all my money. And then 5 seconds later, someone else posts another chart. No, it's going to do this. And it just, eventually I'm like, I'm going to go crazy if I keep watching this, because everyone's got all these different opinions and 90% of the time they're wrong. Well, last night some guy put something up and he said, and I was ready to close my leverage bet, because I started freaking out. Well, then this guy posted a chart last night and he says, get your, like, something about check your emotion. He said, just listen to the algorithms. He said, they look at this, 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 and he named off some technical stuff, and everyone was kind of laughing at him, right? But I paid attention to what he was saying, and he was exactly right. He said that last night when it hit 44.6, he said, buy. And people were like, you're crazy, blah, blah, blah. Well, I woke up this morning and looked at it, and it was already over 47, getting close to 48. I'm like, oh my God, he was right. And he said the algorithms don't lie. They don't get affected by the emotions like we do. He said they look at this, 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 and they tell you what they see. And they're more accurate than we are.
So Craig had asked something as we kind of like ventured off. But, you know, when you're investing, you talk about and you consider your risk, right? Your risk tolerance is something that you can use to determine your investment profile and strategy and all that. But there's a lot of, I guess there's a lot of tools in Forex that you can't find anywhere else. Huh. And one of those is like a trailing stop. So every single movement in Forex is called a pip, which is like a sub fractional cent of a currency pair, and you can set up a trailing loss. So when the pair goes up and you're moving forward in pips, your trailing stop loss will go behind it. So if anything, for example, let's just say, depending on your risk tolerance and your threshold, right, you can set a 20 pip trailing loss. I think mine set at 30 pips or something. And this is what the bot does. Like, you can set that within the bot, like, so your risk tolerance. But essentially, if it just spikes down, it'll just sell out. And that's a way that you minimize your loss, because most of the time, and this is where Forex is also, you get big rewards, but you also get big losses if you don't know what you're doing. But because it's so hedged, and an average account is hedged 50 to 1.
Now, what does that mean?
So for every $1 I invest in my own money, the broker is giving me 50.
So how much do you stand to lose? Just your dollar?
You can lose everything.
Okay.
You can lose your dollar plus the 50 they give you.
But okay, so this is my question. Like, if you, because I have a leverage bet open right now, and then I have my stuff that's not leveraged that I own, like my cryptocurrencies that are in my portfolio, and then I have the ones that I have on leverage, 5 times leverage, and I know that if I lose the bet, that I lose five times that, but they will only take the amount that you put down on the leverage, not right. That's like the amount you put down.
No, they'll take everything.
They'll take everything. Okay. That's good to know.
Yes. They're loaning you. They're loaning you money. It's kind of like the banks they give you, you know, or Capital One or whoever, like no endorsement, but they'll give anybody a credit card because they hope that you go and rack up a balance on it and then hold that balance. Like they're loaning you money.
So like knowing that, like that makes me personally feel like I need to hurry up and enlist the help of a bot.
Yeah, I guess. I mean,
that's what I feel like I should do because I can't afford to lose everything and I don't always make the right choices when it comes to what's going to happen.
Well, there's always safety markers in any of your investment vehicles, right? So one safety marker can be like a stop loss, right? So whenever your stock increases in price, you set a buy pattern or a sell pattern at a certain value. Let's just say you set that value at zero, right? So let's just say you bought it at this dollar amount. You set your stop loss or, take profit, or I'm sorry, your stop loss at that value, right? So no matter what, if it goes below what you invested, that's when you start losing money, right? Theoretically. Mm-hmm. So if it goes back down to zero, which is where you bought in at, it sells out automatically, right? Mm. But also the upside on that is, a take profit. Right. So, and that's where these bots leverage the buying and selling, your stop losses and your take profits. And a take profit essentially is like if it moves up 80 pips or 100 pips or whatever, the take profit is following the trend. Right. So, and the trailing stop loss essentially trails behind where it goes up. So, anytime the Forex pair is going up and down, that trailing loss is following it, right? And so let's just say there's a huge sell-off or something and it just falls like literally straight to the ground, right? Like you're dropping a dime off, a building or something. Like if it ever just goes down between that 10 pips in one movement, that's when it sells. Huh. So
when you have a take profit set, does that, I've never done that because I thought like, say if something goes, I think the word is parabolic, like if it just goes crazy and increases. So if you have a take profit set, won't that sell and close your bet and possibly like what I would say, could be prematurely, like say if it's going to go quite a bit higher, you could end up closing the bet, at level one when it could have went like way higher, right? That's the risk you run with a take profit. Am I right?
Right.
Okay.
Absolutely. So you risk selling it early or
risk missing the peak of the interest.
Sure. Okay. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it can work both ways, either to your advantage or to your disadvantage.
But I would assume that these bots are programmed to kind of see if they can like kind of follow trends and kind of sniff the trends a lot better than we can, then I would imagine. Well, no, I guess they're not set up that.
Typically when, you're talking about a bot designed take profit, typically they'll use like Bollinger Bands, which essentially is kind of like the trend of the up and down movement. Did we lose BJ?
No, I think she's still on there.
Okay.
I got to jump in a few minutes and I forgot I got to use the Zoom meeting for another, but we could definitely continue this because it's been good.
Yeah.
So typically I'll go through this really quickly, but typically the way that these auto take profits and stop losses are, is they're using like an indicator called Bollinger Bands, which essentially just shows like the trend, the swing trend of the movement. So, and typically, obviously there'll be a peak band and then there'll be a lower band, like an upper band and lower band, and they'll set that take profit just below the upper band, and then they'll set the stop loss just below the lower band, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. I didn't know that was an option. I thought you had to put in like a a take profit and a stop loss, I thought you had to put either a dollar amount or a percentage, but you're talking about they're using indicators.
When you're manually doing, you know, when you're manually entering a Forex order, yes, you do. You do put those values in manually. But when we're talking about using EI or expert indicators for Forex, that is done dynamically by the
bot. Oh, wow. Now that's a game changer, I would think. Because that's why don't do the stop loss. Like, I'm behind on sleep this week. And the reason why is obviously we're in a very volatile time frame for Bitcoin. And I'm long on my leverages. Like, I believe it's going way higher. So I'm literally at night sitting here trying to stay awake with my eyes glued to the screen because I don't have a stop loss or a take profit because of, that I don't need to explain why. So I'm sitting here just watching, praying that I don't fall asleep and something major happens.
Well, that's where you start thinking like is investment like healthy? You know,
well,
like,
yeah. Well, no. And the way I'm doing it, no, the answer to that question would be no, it's not. So, but it sounds like I need to explore getting some assistance from a bot because I can't continue to try to stay awake, you know?
Right. And I think it just depends on the platform, you know, the platform that you're using. And I'm not sure about these different brokers or platforms or trading options or trading service providers or whoever. You know, what they offer, but it's really common in Forex. And, we're mostly talking and, you know, we're talking about principle and theoretical, you know, like situations and scenarios here. But what I can tell you is between yesterday when I installed the bot and opened my new investment account, and today I made about $84 doing nothing.
Oh, wow.
So I can tell you in reality. And again, you know, like Craig said, this is not investment advice. This is just principle theory.
It's more than that. Like, it's not investment advice by any means, because anyone listening to this can tell that we're all trying to learn this. Like, we are not experts in this stuff. But what we do have a pretty good understanding of is the value of artificial intelligence. Like, I think we're all sold on that. We use it in our own business. You know, Craig's an expert in it, and we use it in our own business, and we see how it helps us. So I think that's what we are very clear on is that artificial intelligence has a huge value.
And more people use this type of software than people know. You know, like when you go and have a savings account at the bank, they're using Forex. So
no way.
That's it. They're using Forex to create your investment portfolio, most likely.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that, Blake. We definitely need to continue this. I got to run.
Yeah, who knew Blake was such an expert on this? I didn't.
not really. Not really.
Well, you have a lot of knowledge on it. You shed a lot of light for us.
It is cool. Yeah. It does tie in.
Well, so moral of the story is like our company name is Petronella Technology Group, and there's a reason why, right? Like, technology is going to change the world.
Maybe our next one, since this one kind of transitioned from, you know, crypto to Forex, maybe our next one could be Forex.
Sure.
Because there's a lot there.
Yeah. Well, and then obviously crypto is like the baby of the scene. Like, it's fresh on the scene, but obviously, you know, the future is bright for it. So if there's tools that we can find that work somewhere and they can be applied, I mean, yeah, we're on the cutting edge. Like, we're literally on the pulse of the future.
Indeed. All right, guys.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Here.
Okay.
All right, bye. Right.
Thanks for listening to the Cybersecurity and Compliance Podcast with Craig Petronella. For other episodes and more information, visit PetronellaTech.com. Also visit our other websites, ComplianceArmor.com and BlockchainSecurity.com. Don't forget to like and subscribe. Thanks for listening, and stay secure.